Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Appreciate the opportunity to stand here behind this sacred desk and open the Word of God. It's a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great responsibility. To try to teach the Word of God to anybody. And we don't take it lightly. I don't know how well I do it. I don't think I do very well at it. But I do what I can. I read a lot of Bible. I read a lot, period. But I read a lot of Scriptures. And sometimes, and I know preacher knows what I'm talking about, is standing up here, and you got so many verses of Scripture in your mind, you don't know just which direction to go.
Right.
So, we're going to have to do what I'm going to teach you about tonight, and as a matter of fact, every time, is we're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us. All right? Now, preacher's given me the four weeks, okay?
Right.
Unless I do something wrong and he says, sit down over there. If I do something wrong and the preacher says, take your seat over there, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my seat and I'm going to be glad about it. I'm from the school that still believes in pastoral authority. And if a preacher says you're done, you're done. You just be glad about it and go on. You know, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
That's right. That is right.
And that's the way it'll be. I mean, it's just the way it is. I know you're looking saying, I don't believe that. Well, you can believe what you want. But that's it. But anyway, we're going to try for the next 4 weeks, so we're not going to be in a hurry to try to teach you. I don't know if I'm going to teach you anything. We're just going to review what we should have already known. Okay. But Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6, I want to read that. It says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, and this is my jumping off point, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this privilege we have to stand here and open your word and to try to teach what you've been trying to teach me at home. I'm going to try to pass it on.
Yeah.
And God, this, if you leave it in the pond too long, it'll get stagnant, so you got to keep it moving. Keep the water going in and keep the water going out. Lord, so that we don't want to get stagnant and stale. No use to anybody. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our church. Lord, we're looking for great things to happen. The Mount State Baptist Church, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that we're just getting started. God, I believe, I don't know when you're coming. I'm not going to pretend to know when you're coming, but I believe it's soon. I believe it's soon, but I believe until then we should occupy. We should be about your business until you call us home. whether that be one at a time or all together. God, we thank you and praise you and love you. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for Israel tonight. And God, we pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, by your Spirit, God, help us. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. Amen. I don't know how much shouting will be going on. I really don't. Much doesn't matter much to me. You can shout if you want to. You run aisles if you want to. You're not going to bother me any. It's not going to happen. But if you turn over in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and a very familiar verse of Scripture, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power." When was that? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Right.
Okay? And then after we've received power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, it says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth."
Right.
Turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And verse 46, we have in Luke 24 and verse 46, the Bible says, and said unto them, Jesus speaking here, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The church was given a job to do. Five times in the Scriptures, in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John chapter 20, and Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the church was given a job to do. And it's not only a job to do, but it's a command to obey. And the preacher's talked about this the other one, I don't know if it was morning or night. His sermons all run together with me. But I do remember what he's preaching. This is a job requirement. This is a job requirement. After you're saved, you shall receive power. Because if you're saved, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost of God now resides inside of you.
Right.
All right? Now, we have a job to do. All right? And Brother Rick taught a class, and he gave it to me, and I taught it in school. It's called logic. Now, I think everybody ought to use a little logic, use a little common sense, or whatever you want to call it. But in order to get any job done, there must be some energy expended or used.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to get any work done, we're going to have to get down and use a little muscle, expend some energy. Now, science tells us in order to create energy to get a job done, we need some things. First of all, we need some fuel. All right. Now, our bodies has a process called digestion by which it converts our food into energy. I think it's why the Bible says if you don't work, neither should you eat.
Right.
I think I read that somewhere. Because if you don't work, you don't need to eat because you don't need any energy because you're not going to do anything anyhow.
No, that's good.
You're going to lay around and get fat if you don't. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's my problem now. I lay around too much. But anyway, this process converts our food into energy, which the cells in our body can use to produce action or work.
Right.
I mean, maybe all the work we do is on a computer, if you call that work. Yeah, I know, Caleb, but that's just the world we live in, buddy. Now, in somewhat the same way, our spiritual bodies has a way by which we convert spiritual food.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible, the Word of God, into energy.
Amen.
That can be used to produce work or use the Bible word fruit.
Right.
You know, just like a tree, you put fertilizer around a fruit tree and it sucks that fertilizer up, and there's a process in that tree, converts that into apples or oranges or grapes or whatever, whatever, makes some fruit, okay? And by the way, an apple tree will produce apples. Peach tree will produce peaches, you know, and Christians produce Christians. Christians produce Christians.
Right.
That's our fruit. And the energy we get from this word is supposed to be used to produce fruit. Okay? Now, the Bible to a lost man produces not much. Now, the Bible to a lost man may produce some good deeds or actions. I mean, you know, there's some lost people that are, should I say, more moral than some Christians. You know, there's some lost people say that believe the Bible more than some Christians seem to. But the Bible to a spiritual man will, through the Spirit of God. Now, the body is digestion. The spiritual body, it's the Holy Spirit of God that takes this spiritual food and produces something in us to produce other Christians.
Right.
Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir. You're helping.
But I'm afraid... Well, let me go here first. You need a well-balanced diet.
Yes.
I'm afraid a lot of Christians are still sucking the bottle.
Yes.
I think I read something about that over Hebrews today.
Yes.
Let's just go over and look at it. Hebrews, somewhere there in the book of Hebrews. I believe I can find it. In chapter 5 and verse number 11, says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm thinking a lot of us are still sucking on the bottle when we ought to be chewing on a ribeye steak.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm talking about me too. I ought to be further along than I am.
Yeah, we all should. Yeah. I should be.
But in order to accomplish the job that God has given us to do, we need some things that only God can give. This job cannot be accomplished in the flesh.
Amen.
Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18. And I believe one of the greatest Christians that ever walked on the face of the earth wrote this, or penned it down. Of course, it's God's Word. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing."
Amen.
Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, you know what the rest of Romans 7 says. It talks about the flesh anyway. What I want to do, I don't. What I would do, I should. Any of the things I can. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Hey, are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved? Are you saved? There's no condemnation.
That is right.
You're not condemned.
That is right.
Nobody can condemn you.
Right.
Not even God. God even says in these words, "There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus."
That is right.
"Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do," I think of Colossians where it says all these, the handwriting of ordinances against us, hey, they're nailed to the cross. There's 600 and some laws in the Old Testament, and we're guilty of every single one of them. We could be prosecuted and put in jail because we're guilty of every single one. We've broken every law of God, but because we trust in Christ as our Savior, we're no longer guilty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not condemned. Hey, we're free. We're free. We've been pardoned. And it's not a presidential pardon either. It's way above that.
Amen.
"For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And I think that's where a lot of Christians are, including myself. "They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace."
Yes, sir.
Are you troubled in mind? Hey, get these verses. Read the Bible sometime and find out what He's saying here.
Amen. Amen.
Man, I can lay down and go to sleep at night. I'd almost, if I was a betting man, I'd almost bet you that we can all lay down and I'll be asleep before any of you. Now, I don't know how long I'll sleep, but I'll be asleep before any of you. My daughter said I could go to sleep talking to her. But anyway, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So, Paul said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Here it says, the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, we're talking about Christians now, those that are in have Christ Jesus, are walking after the Spirit. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you."
Yes,
now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Preacher talked about that. Hey, you take a dead man laying up here, you can spit in his face, you can curse him, you can do anything you want to him, and he does not react to it. Don't bother him a bit. So anytime we get offended and we get all huffy and all that kind of thing, let me tell you what that is. Flesh.
It's all dead.
Flesh. Yeah, and I'm, hey, listen, I'm preaching to all of us.
Yeah, we all fight.
But I'll tell you what, it's 999 times better than it was 30 years ago. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm what I used to be.
Amen.
It's a journey, folks. Now, listen, you don't get perfect on the first day. And by the way, if you've been saved for a long time and you think you're better than somebody comes in here, got long hair and tattoos and stuff, and got saved the first day, don't talk this right, don't dress this right, all that. What you need to do is remember the day before you got saved.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Absolutely.
Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Think about that. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in us if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, here's our power, quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, that brings me to my subject for the next today and what's left of today in the next 3 weeks, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, time out. I'm not here to say I'm an expert on this thing. Preacher gave me a book last summer by Watchman Nee called The Release of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I haven't got over that book. And I started asking myself questions like, do I even know the Spirit of God?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do I even know Him?
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Do I even trust Him? Do I even depend on Him? Do I talk to Him? Do I ask Him questions? Do I say, Holy Spirit, please help me? Because I can't do it in the flesh.
Amen.
None of us can do it in the flesh. We must, now, I'm not talking about some, and don't get worried, I'm not charismatic, I'm not going to start speaking in tongues, that's a bunch of foolishness.
Right, that is right.
And listen, it's good to know the Holy Spirit better. You know why? Because He never talks about Himself.
Right. Yeah, amen. That's what the Bible says.
He never talks about Himself.
That's what the Bible says.
He talks about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right? We can go, John, and show you that. We might, before it's over with. So, listen, we're not going to get off on some tangent way over here in the side ditch somewhere exalting the Holy Spirit up somewhere where He doesn't belong. By the way, if you exalt the Holy Spirit properly, all you're going to learn about is Christ.
That is right.
All you're going to want to do is tell others about Christ. All you're going to want to do is take the Bible and do like he said Spurgeon did. Said, Mr. Spurgeon, somebody told him one time, said, you read a verse of Scripture, a text of Scripture, and said, then you run straight to the cross. Straight to Christ. Hey, we're always talking about Jesus this and Jesus that and Jesus something else. And I want to tell you something. I think a lot of times we're just talking fleshly knowledge, you know, stuff we've read in the Bible, and we think, I know something about Him. But I want to tell you what, if you'll get down and start studying about the Holy Spirit of God, and by the way, He is God.
Yes.
And that'll be, anyway, we got ways to go. We must allow Him to control us. And let me go over to It'll be familiar. Over in Galatians, and tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace. And you can back up there a little bit in that same book, and it'll tell you what the flesh does. Now, you can write those two lists down. Maybe we ought to do that. Just write those two lists down. If you don't understand some of the words, look them up in the dictionary and see what they mean. And write those lists. Let's just go over in Galatians. It's worth looking at. You're going to say, the preacher's already read those verses to us so many times, we already know them. Oh, I don't know when we're going to start doing them, so what I'm probably. Where am I at, preacher? Get me there. Okay. Works of the flesh. Verse 16, chapter 5, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Oh, there it is again. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I knew we should go over there. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. There that law comes in again. Hey, we're free. The Spirit makes us free.
Right.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You could take your two index cards and write down all the works of the flesh on one, stick it in your pocket. Then go over here to verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
Right.
And here we got it again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we're going to take a list of these works of the flesh and put it on one card. We're going to take the works of the fruit of the Spirit, put it on another card, put them in our pocket, and then as we walk through the day, whenever we do something or say something, we're going to get one out and see, which is it?
Yeah.
Which is it?
That would be good.
Just which one is it? Are you walking in the flesh, or are we walking in the Spirit? All right. So we'll let that sink in while we give you five things that the Spirit will give us to get the job done. Five things the Spirit will give us to get the job done. Go to John chapter 4, and it's funny. I heard a lot of this stuff Sunday. I heard some of it Sunday. I thought maybe I've fought and battled. The preacher told me a month ago about doing it in February, and I thought, what should I do? What should I do? And I don't know. I think maybe I ought to let the pastor teach doctrine and me stay out of it. You know. Just don't even go there. But I couldn't get away from it. So here we are. John chapter 4, verse 27. Of course, you know the story about the woman at the well. And after the woman... go down to verse 27. This is after the woman left. It says, and upon her, his disciples come and saw him there. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, because she was a Samaritan woman. Yet no man said, why seekest thou? What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. The Holy Spirit will give us meat to eat that we know not of. Hey, doing the will of God should be as exciting to us as eating our favorite meal. Now, we get excited when Brother Rick says, Bible Reader's Banquet, it's going to be Friday night, such and such in January. Man, hallelujah, the preacher's going to make some of that steak. Some of that chicken. Hey, we're Baptists. You know how excited we get over eating? Man, we'll shout over a piece of fried chicken. Most Baptists will shout over a cup of coffee. Hey, we ought to be as excited about telling somebody about Jesus, which is what Jesus did here to the woman at the well, as we are about going to our favorite restaurant and having the best meal we ever ate in our life.
Yeah,
I mean, we really should. We need to feed the Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
Feed the Spirit like we feed these bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, how we all fail at that.
Yes, we do.
I mean, we need to feed the Spirit. Not only will the Holy Spirit give us meat to eat that we know not of, but the Holy Spirit will give us courage that we do not have.
That's right.
He'll give us courage that we do not have. Psalm 23 in verse 14. I mean, listen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with us every step of the way. Every step of the way. Matthew 28:20 says, Lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the world. Deuteronomy 31. We'll just go back here and read some verses. I don't know. That's what I do. I just feed me some more verses.
At work.
I just feed me some more verses. 31:6, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I think about the world we live in. I don't know when the Lord's coming. I don't know. The preacher already said, our nation's a mess. Our world's a mess. You never know. You never know when they'll pass a law that we can't stand here and do this.
Right.
I mean, we might all be in a prison like John Bunyan.
Yeah. Right.
I think about those martyrs sometimes, and I think, if I was called to renounce my Christianity and my Bible, what would I do? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is. Hey, listen. Heaven wouldn't be so bad, huh?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Joshua chapter 1. We can read it again. I mean, I just picked up three or four verses. But it's all through the Bible. He's trying to tell us. And if we'll, the Spirit, we have to do it by, my flesh is weak, but hey, the Spirit's willing if we'll just feed Him. Feed Him. This book of the law, verse 8, chapter 1 of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Wait a minute, back up, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Yeah.
Not only would he give us meat that we don't know of, I mean, when we think we can't go another step, he'll strengthen us to go on, to go on, to go on. Not only will he do that, not only will he give us courage that we do not have, but I want to tell you something the Holy Spirit will give us that nobody else can. He'll give us comfort like nobody else.
Yes, sir.
He will comfort us like nobody else. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Oh, by the way, I'm just going to stop here. Time out. You know how preachers are? Parenthesis. I want to tell you a story about soul winning, about talking to people about the Lord. Sometime in the middle of February, or middle of January, excuse me, or latter end of January, my neighbor's wife passed away. And so we went to the funeral on a Saturday. All right. And his brother, the brother of the man whose wife passed away, and his wife come to me and they wanted to ask me a question. I said, well, go ahead, ask me a question. They're my next door neighbors, might as well say. So his wife asked me, said, we've already got our tombstone set up there behind the house, up on the top of the hill behind the trailer, and got everything all fixed up. Said, the only thing, she said, I want to know if you'd preach my funeral. I said, well, I'd be proud to do that. So we went home. 15 days later, she died.
Yeah.
I told the preacher down here one Thursday, I said, I need to get over there and talk to them. And I need to know what condition their soul's in. That was on Thursday. She died the next Monday, and I never had gone over there to see her. She died before I got there. I was happy to find out that she had been saved and so her daughter told me and stuff. Now her husband's not. You pray for him. You pray that I can, him and his brother both. But listen, and this was a strange thing. Two brothers lost both their wives within 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they both live right there where I do. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is she asked me on a Saturday about preaching her funeral, and I thought, I need to talk to her. Well, I should have talked to her right then.
Yeah.
I should have said, well, I need to know right now.
Yeah.
But no, I put it off for 2 weeks, and she died.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. You say, oh, you just try. I'm not. I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the one that has to deal, face,
yeah,
all that. You understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But it's important. And we can't do it in the flesh. We have to have the Spirit to help us. We need the Spirit of God to help us. Because we can, hey, listen, I can preach to 1 million people every day. But unless the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and puts it into your hearts or your minds, just like me teaching tonight, unless the Spirit of God takes what I say and teaches you something, it'll not get done.
That is right. That is right.
I do not have that ability in my flesh to do that.
Right. Neither do I. You're right.
Now, I can teach you math and science and all that kind of stuff, but this is different.
Right.
And I'm telling you, we cannot do it in the flesh.
Amen.
We have to have the Spirit of God. We have to have Him.
Yes.
We have to have Him.
Yes, sir.
But He can comfort us like no other. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, we find these verses. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter.
Yes.
Hey, what do you bet this prayer God answered?
Yeah, right.
You know who's praying here, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ is praying.
I will pray.
He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Get this down. He is in us.
Yes, amen.
And by the way, we don't have to pray to get more of the Spirit.
Amen.
What we ought to pray is the Spirit gets more of us.
Yes, yes sir. Yes, sir. Good.
Of course, you know, 2 Thessalonians 4:18, the Bible tells us to comfort one another with these words.
Right.
We could go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible says there, it says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace."
Yes,
man, that's good right there.
Yes,
"comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work."
Yes.
We get meat that we know not of. We get courage that we do not have. We get comfort like no other. And we get peace beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
Peace beyond our comprehension. Go back to John chapter 14 again, in verse number 27. The Bible says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Hey, we need to quit. Hey, if we get this down, we can get off all those anxiety drugs and all that sleepless nights and just all this kind of nervousness and tension and all the time worried about this and about that and about something else. Get your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm just giving you half the verses I got here. Galatians 5:22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace."
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the peace of God." Let me back up and read verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus."
Yes, sir.
And then gives us a lot of things we need to think about. Amen. Meat we know not of, courage that we do not have, comfort like no other, peace beyond our comfort, understanding, and wisdom that we do not possess. The Holy Spirit will give us wisdom that we do not possess. I'll be honest with you, before I was saved, I had no clue about all this stuff. And I'm to the point now where I just can't get enough. I just want to know more.
Yeah.
Just want to know more. We're talking about FBI out in the hallway, and hey, listen. I took courses. I went to other churches and went through college courses, and now I'm going through this thing. And I've read so many books. I'm kind of like Felix told Paul, "Much learning doth make thee mad."
Yeah.
But listen. Listen, the more I think I know, the more I know I don't know everything. James chapter 1 and verse number 5, I believe, says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." Let me see, was that the right verse? Yeah. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 17. By the way, I memorized that verse in James because I need wisdom. And I like that what he said. He said, "If any of you lack wisdom," any of you. And by the way, we've read in the Bible where God's no respecter of persons. You got it? You say, "Boy, I wish I knew as much as..." You can.
Yes, sir.
You can.
Yes.
You say, boy, I wish I knew as much Bible as the preacher. God help you if you say you know, wish you knew as much as I do. I hope you know more. But says, let him ask of God. And he'll give it to you liberally. And he won't jump on you because you don't know anything. And upbraideth not. Do you believe the Bible or not? You want to know him? You can. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Man, is that good? Is that good or what? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm about done. And verse number 13. The Bible says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Right, right.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. If you think the Word of God's foolishness, you need saved.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's right.
I believe that's what they just said.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:17. We hang around in the same books all the time, don't we? Let the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I want to tell you something. We need to know the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you realize if you're saved, He's living in you? He'll teach you. He'll comfort you. He'll help you. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to try to introduce you to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to tell you anything new. It's all in this book. But I sure do love Him.
Yes.
Sure do love Him. And listen, don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's other denominations that got Baptists scared to death of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
And we've sequestered the Holy Spirit of God over in the corner till our services are dry.
Yes.
Amen.
I'll stop right there. Until we've lost our shout.
Yeah.
We've lost our joy.
Yeah, this is true.
Huh?
We've lost our power.
Boy, like Miss Hope comes along and gets happy and starts walking the aisles. Lord, I wish she'd get 20 years. I wish she could go back 20 years and just make a lap or two.
Oh,
he'll say, them people down there's crazy. I think in Acts they said they thought they were drunk.
Yeah.
Because they were full of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
They weren't talking in tongues, but they were telling people about Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love You. Lord, we pray that You would help us to understand that the Holy Spirit is God in us to help us, to teach us, to encourage us, to lead us, to guide us. Lord, we thank You that You sent us the Comforter like Him. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, make Him real to all of us. Amen.